Welcome to the Cyril Talk Tech Chat, number 17, if I haven't lost count. Tonight, how to stay connected when mobile. We have the expert on it, the man that's been doing it for at least 10 years that I know of. Back in 2000, he said, "Hey man, I'm listening to ACB, the convention coverage, and mainstream while I'm riding in the cab over to the convention." So Mike Calvo tonight is going to be talking about different technologies for connecting to your phone, explaining that HSPA and the EVDO, broadband cards and air cards, and just all kinds of cool stuff that we can all learn about. Taking that mobile connection and connecting our netbooks through our phones, or connecting the whole house to a mobile connection. And we will take questions a little bit later in the presentation. Next week, the 28th, Joe Hall will be here from the Harvard Sleep Research Lab. So if you have any questions about sleep, and we'll even talk about technologies to help you sleep. Yes, that is possible. Let Mike Calvo tell us how to be connected and mobile. Take it away, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Good evening, everybody, or good afternoon, or good morning, whenever you happen to be listening to this, or wherever you may happen to be. We got a lot to cover today, but hopefully I will be able to untangle the web of what is being connected on the go. I want to lay some groundwork first about what mobile connectivity is and what it is not. We've got several different ways of accessing the internet now. Of course, you've got your conventional way that, you know, you call up your local cable company or phone company, and they create what's called a wired connection, whether that be cable or DSL or what have you, to connect to the internet. But what about when you're traveling? We're going to talk tonight about a couple of different connectivity options when you're on the road. You know, it used to be, as Michael said before I started talking, that only executives or people that were really on the go, only for business purposes or what have you, needed connectivity. As Cerotech was growing, we were very small in staff. We still try and keep the ship running lean and mean. Of course, we've got more hands on deck now. But being the CEO of the company, I needed to kind of be in touch with everything everybody was doing. So I needed to be able to, at the drop of a dime, at the prompt of a phone call, be able to get online, look at our network, look at the server, see what was going on, communicate with programmers and with customer service folks, look at documents, look at customer records. And all of this stuff was possible using wireless connectivity that I used to use either through a cell phone tethered to a laptop, or through a card. Broadband is something that came in with cable modems and DSL. Before that, it was just faster than dial-up, but not quite the speeds that you would get at home. Nowadays, though, we can actually have as much power in our pocket or in our laptop case as we do with our at-home internet connections, and in some cases, even faster. So we're going to cover those tonight. Broadband, or mobile broadband as we're going to call it, comes in several different flavors. EVDO, and which runs on the CDMA network. And we also have HSPA, which runs on the GSM network. If you don't want to get into all the technical stuff about what is EVDO and what is HSPA, let it suffice to say that in the U.S. at least, EVDO is a technology that's provided by Verizon, Altel, and Sprint, and any other subcontractors that they may have, and we'll talk about that in a little while. And HSPA is, or what's more commonly known as 3G, is provided by AT&T and also by T-Mobile. T-Mobile is kind of the latest newcomer to the party with this mobile broadband. So they have actually the smallest footprint out of all of them. You can get this mobile broadband from the same people you get your cell phone. So the first question is, well, how do I pick one? Well, who do you use as your cell phone provider? That is really the big thing. Here in Orlando, I use T-Mobile for my cell phone, but because of T-Mobile's limited footprint in the United States, and because of the fact that I travel quite a bit, I've been using Sprint for a number of years. I've found that Sprint provides me with an excellent signal. In fact, Sprint is really the number one top dog in the industry. There is nobody in this industry, hands down, that provides faster service, that provides more reliable service, and provides the biggest 3G footprint than Sprint. The thing about these different services and the way you get them into your system is you use a little card that plugs into your either your USB port on your computer and you run a piece of software, or you use a plug-in card, either a PCMCIA card if you've got an old computer, or one of these new data port slots that are built into certain netbooks and some of the bigger notebooks. We're also starting to see now where Verizon and AT&T are actually selling netbooks with embedded cards in them. So you can actually have the built-in card right in the system and it will access this network. That is really my least favorite way of doing things, because when you get a netbook or a notebook that's been configured for a particular network and it has the card built in, hey, you're married to that network. So that's something that you really need to look at. Even though they provide you a really cheap way of getting in, I think AT&T is like $200 and Verizon's going to be right along the same way. You don't want to necessarily buy their netbook. You're probably better off going out, buying a netbook on your own, and then getting the card. That way, if at some point you say, you know, I don't like this plan anymore, or I don't want this, or my contract is up, then you can just decide, hey, you know, I'm not going to use this anymore. I'm going to just switch to another provider. Another reason is because these onboard cards take up a whole lot of power. Now, let's not confuse EVDO or HSPA with Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is more like using your cordless phone at your house, or if you go into a coffee shop, or if you go somewhere where they have a network that you can just kind of connect to with a computer that's enabled to use Wi-Fi. That's different. You can't use Wi-Fi while rolling in your car down the highway at 60 miles an hour. I make it a habit not to drive and use my netbook at the same time. But all kidding aside, 3G is the term for all of this stuff. I'm just going to use 3G when it comes to mobile broadband. So everybody knows that they just comprise of different technologies. So now that we've got the differences between Wi-Fi and the different types of 3G and how you would pick a provider, one of the things that these companies have started doing and upset many other people is they've started putting caps. A lot of these companies, I know Comcast tried doing it in the regular wired world and it didn't work. It kind of bounced back on them. But in the broadband world, in the mobile broadband world, they've been able to actually incur caps on people. And let me explain what that means. It means that every time you're online and you check your email or you go to a web page or you listen to streaming audio, whatever, you're actually consuming data. You're downloading stuff to your computer off of somebody else's server. That is measured in kilobytes or in megabytes, depending on whose service you have. And then it's also measured in gigabytes. So all of these plans are basically around the same amount of money. They all have caps except for one. And I'll tell you who the one is in just a second. I promised on the podcast I was going to tell you a secret about how you can get by the caps. And there's two secrets I'm going to tell you tonight. The first thing is, for $40 a month, most of these will provide you about a 250 megabyte maximum. If you're going to be just checking your email, if you're going to just be text messaging with people every once in a while, that kind of thing, that's the plan for you. The reason I don't advocate that people use these plans is the overage charge after the 250 megabytes is insane. 250 megabytes to get it in perspective is a quarter of a gigabyte. 1,000 megabytes is 1 gigabyte. Now, if you go for the $59.99 plan for most of these companies, you're going to get a 5 gigabyte cap. Now, 5 gigs sounds like a lot, and it might be, but again, you're going to run into the possibility of overage charges. One of the things that frustrates me to no end is that there is no way that you will know until you get your bill. Some of these companies, at your request, will shut you off. But that kind of defeats the purpose of having 3G on the go to begin with. I mean, if I'm sitting in the middle of a meeting, or if I'm on the go somewhere and I'm really needing my broadband at that moment, I'm going to be really ticked off if I hit my 5 gigabyte cap right there. So be very careful. Again, Sprint seems to be the least costly of all of them when it comes to overage charges. They don't charge you like a month's rent. And I'm not joking when I talk about that. If you consume an additional gigabyte of data over your plan, it could run you hundreds of dollars. So this is something that you need to be very cognizant of, you know, and especially as we go down into tonight, the ways that these companies are advertising the way that you can use this mobile broadband, because as you'll find, it's not just something that you can use by yourself. This is a connection that you can actually share. When you talk about sharing, it brings us to an issue of security. Wi-Fi is one of those things that anybody can build a Wi-Fi router that transmits on the open spectrum, the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum, which is used by most of these routers. It's also shared by your cell phone and other household devices. Anybody can monitor that. It is not illegal to monitor a Wi-Fi network. It is illegal to use the information you glean off of that network to do illegal things like credit cards or whatever. But it is not illegal to eavesdrop on them, unlike the frequencies that are used for cell phones and the frequencies that are also conversely used for 3G. So you're going to get that kind of protection from a legal standpoint, but also from a technical standpoint. Not only are the 3G connections digital from end to end, which means that the naked ear doesn't know what the heck it's hearing, but the way that it works, the best way to describe it is picture taking a note. You write the note on your side of the computer and you push it into the computer, and the computer takes that note and rips it up into tiny little pieces and sends it out into the network. The network then takes those packets, puts them back together at the other end where they were intended to be in one piece. But if somebody tries to intercept in the way, all they're going to get is gobbledygook. So in actuality, a 3G connection is much more secure than even a Wi-Fi network. It can't be sniffed. It can't be hacked. To this point, there has not been anybody able to do that. So this is something that makes 3G actually even better if you want a secure connection and you're driving down the road and you're worried about, oh man, is the guy in the car next to me going to be able to jump onto my, you know, my laptop and be able to use it or steal my connection or what have you. That's not going to happen. This is an important thing for you to know, but do not think that because it's more secure, this is something you're going to want to use around your house. Because again, that 5 gigabyte cap is going to get you. You know, picking the right broadband card is another issue that you're going to run into. There are many different cards, as I said before. You've got the kind of card that plugs into your USB port. You've got the built-in card that's in the laptop, which I said don't buy. And then you've got the one that goes into the Express card slot. That is all a matter of personal choice. I actually use a USB card. The one that I like is the Novatel something 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 727. It's the latest Novatel that's out there, or one, the one right before the latest one. The latest one is an itty bitty bit smaller. Thing I like about the USB modem that I use for 3G is that the software is actually on board. So I can literally grab a notebook from somebody who I find anywhere and just say, hey man, let me borrow your notebook for a minute, plug in my card, and it will download the software to run the card right onto that computer and auto-launch it. And I can temporarily use that person's machine, and then when I'm done with it, they can just uninstall the software and it's over with. So this is probably the best way to go, at least for me. And again, I use Sprint. I'm a big Sprint advocate. The first secret is, well, how do I get by this cap? Well, the first way you can get by the cap is if you go to Altel. Altel is going to offer you an unlimited EBDO experience. They do not do HSPA. They don't do GSM. They only do CDMA, if that's important to you. But CDMA or EBDO runs in two different flavors. You've got Rev-A, and you've got just regular EBDO. Rev-A gives you speeds about 900K consistently, and it bursts up to about 2.5 meg. The 3G or the HSPA is a little bit faster, where you would get a consistent 1.2 and about a burst of about 3 meg on the down, and both of them provide you between 2 to 400K up. Now, those are the specs. I've not found that either one of the two GSM networks provide those kind of speeds. When it comes to cards, I've used the Verizon card. Verizon's got a great connection. Sprint still tends to be faster, but they both tend to be pretty darn solid. T-Mobile has a new card out. I think they call it the Stick, and it's like $50 to get in, and then it's the usual, you know, $59.99 for 5 gigs, $40 for 250 megs. They have coverage in a lot of cities, but not everywhere. And I found the software that they use to be extremely inaccessible. There's ways around that by creating a connection and dial-up networking and things like that. But it's kind of bogus, and it's just not a plug-and-play situation. And the whole idea behind having one of these cards is that you can use it anywhere. And because it's USB, you can use it on any computer you encounter. So theoretically, you should just be able to, you know, have your, for example, your SA Mobile account or your SA To Go account in your head, and then just this thing in your pocket, plug into anybody's computer, even on the street somewhere, and with a little bit of sighted assistance, get speech up and running and be able to use it. If not, just plug into your own netbook. I think I'd mentioned before that the built-in cards that sit in your PC, they tend to blow your battery. And with these smaller netbooks, if you're using a 3-cell battery, and even the 6-cells, they tend to drain quite substantially. Unless you're near a connection to the electrical outlet, it's not something that you're going to want to leave this thing sitting in your bag and let your email go off. The way I get around that, I use a service that sends me email to my cell phone or sends me a text message whenever I get a message in, things like that. And at some point, we may even offer something like that on Samnet if we get enough users asking for it and we see that there's a benefit to our users for it. But it's not a connection that you're going to leave on all the time. So that's how you really pick your mobile broadband card. What do I want to do with it? You know, this is not something you're going to always leave in your netbook and keep it in your bag or whatever, because it could get broken off. They're sturdy, but they're not, you know, they're not indestructible. So it is an expensive card that you're going to want to definitely take care of. Now, the big cost, we've talked about the cost of actually getting one of these accounts and adding it. And for some people who need it, this is a viable cost for them to build into, you know, whatever they spend on communications every month. The next question people say, well, how much is the card? If you go to, for example, Sprint, or if you go to Verizon or any of these companies, they're going to probably charge you, you know, between $100 to $200, depending on the length of contract you choose. Most of these folks want a 2-year agreement. And I would say that with Sprint, it's pretty much a no-brainer. If you're going to sign a 2-year contract, hey, do it. That being said, though, before you run out and get a contract, let me tell you about one more technology that isn't here yet, but it is working its way into the marketplace. And that is a technology that you may hear called WiMAX. And WiMAX is only available in 3 different cities right now in the United States, but it is being rolled out by Sprint and a company called Clearwire. And this is going to really substantially lower the cost of mobile broadband. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, you need to really look at what you're going to do and how you're going to be computing, and remember that whatever you do for the next couple of years is probably going to have $150, $175 out clause of that contract. Now, that being said, the upfront cost, I can tell you how to eliminate that. There is a website called letstalk.com. That's www.letstalk, letstalk.com. They are authorized resellers of a majority of these providers. I actually think they do them all. And what Let's Talk does, and I've already bought 2 different phones for family members on that. I was actually considering switching from Sprint because I thought 3G would be kind of cool. And as I got into working with T-Mobile, I just decided not to. But Let's Talk will actually sign you up for absolutely nothing. Now, the catch to Let's Talk is this. If you sign up with Let's Talk and you decide within 3 months that you are going to terminate your relationship with the carrier because you're not happy, Let's Talk reserves the right to charge you for that card, and that could be, you know, a couple $100. So, you know, it's pay me now or pay me later. Do your research. Listen to this. Type in mobile broadband reviews into Google. make sure that you are an informed consumer, because this is a relationship that you're going to be dealing with for the next couple of years. But if you know that this is what you want, if you know that this is what you want to do, you don't necessarily, even if you're a subscriber to one of these networks, you don't have to go back to that provider to buy the additional line or the additional connection card. It is looked at as a new account, so you can get all the benefits of a new customer, even though you may have been a Verizon or a Sprint or an AT&T or a T-Mobile customer for a number of years. When you sign up for broadband, it's looked at as a whole new account, so you can actually get all the benefits of that deal. That doesn't mean that these contracts, once you sign them, they're totally 100% written in stone. If you are truly having problems, and you can show that you're having problems, because, of course, if they're putting a cap on you, that means they know how much you're using these cards, and they know when you're online and when you're offline. Now, they don't keep track of where you go, but they certainly do keep track of your data consumption and how long you're on and that kind of thing. If they see you popping in, popping out, your card is just always flashing in and out, you actually may have a case for saying, listen, my card is not working. This service is not benefiting me. I can't use it. I want out of my contract. Now, remember, folks, most of these companies, the first time you call them, they're going to say no. As with most companies, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Go to their customer retention department. If you spend this kind of money on a broadband connection, I have yet to meet a customer retention representative that will not bend over backwards to assist you in making sure that your problem is solved, whether it be a technical one by them replacing the card. I mean, don't think that you're going to get buyer's remorse and you're going to be able to get them and say, well, you know, I just don't want it anymore. That's not going to work. But if you are having a legitimate problem, they will work with you, or they will let you out of the contract. Now, the benefit of having the contract leads us to secret number two. When I started with Sprint 2-3 years ago, with mobile broadband, there was no cap, okay? And my contract expired a few months ago. I called Sprint and I said, well, you guys have this 5 gigabyte limit. Does that mean that I am subject to that? They said, no, you joined us before the 5 gigabyte limit, so you are grandfathered in. So I say that to those of you that may be listening to this this tech talk or this podcast that may have a pre-existing contract that may say, well, you know, I'm just going to move over to whatever the next version is because it's a couple of dollars cheaper. The price of the plan is not all you've got to look at when you're doing these things. Read the fine print. Make sure that you got your contract at a time where you don't have a cap. If that was the case, then you certainly don't have to move on to somebody else, because there may be a cheaper alternative. But again, they may put a cap on you. And as I said before, that 5 gigs goes really quickly. I mean, listening to one described video, for example, on SamNet will take probably about 150 megabytes of use. Put that together with other things that are crawling down the pipe at the same time, and it quickly becomes apparent that 5 gigs is not always the best way to go. Now, one of the things that that people say, well, you know, I've got this connection card. How can I share it? I mean, there's such a thing in Windows called ICS, or Internet Connection Sharing. And you can actually do that with your card from one computer to another. Now, this works really well if, for example, a guy and his wife are out, or you and your significant other or your child or whatever are out and about, and you want to share a connection. One of you can plug the broadband card into your machine, and you can share that network connection in Windows, and there are instructions online to how to do that. And they can connect through what's called an ad hoc network. If you have Wi-Fi available on the host machine or on the machine that you're running the broadband card on. So it does take some tweaking. You do have to be a bit of a geek to get there. Certainly one of those things that you can do. Now, the other way that a lot of these folks are doing now, a lot of these companies are advocating is, hey, get off of the cable or get off of your ADSL, and you can share this mobile broadband card with your entire house. Now, we happen to use this very technology, and I talked about it on the last podcast with Michael. I think the name of this thing is really funny. It's called the personal hotspot. And what it does is you can take your 3G card, your USB stick, plug it into this wireless personal hotspot. And what it does is it literally creates a hotspot that anybody, the one that I use, has the ability for up to 16 computers in the area to connect to it if they have my username and password. We actually use this when we go to conventions and stuff because a lot of the convention hotels charge you an arm and a leg. I mean, for example, for CSUN or for ATIA, you could easily lay out, you know, $700, $800, $900 for a week of access to their network. So as you can imagine, $59 is a small price to pay, even if we only use the card for those two shows, which we don't. We use it for a bunch of other stuff. But $59 is a small price to pay versus $1,000. And you can, again, you can use this card and have everybody connect and you can share using this personal hotspot. Again, I can't say it enough, though, if you're going to use this throughout your home with your family, again, you know, be careful about the caps because they're all going to sell you on this nifty cool technology on how to share this 3G connection with other people. But remember, it's just like sharing minutes. The more minutes the more people you have sharing minutes, that pool becomes diluted. The 5 gigabyte limit, I certainly hope that enough consumers raise Cane about it because it really does stifle innovation. If you were being metered right now, just having the privilege of listening to this technology talk would cost you something. There's something really wrong with that because yes, the internet's been here for a number of years, but you know, there's still 30% of people in the United States that still haven't gotten the internet. I would submit that by putting these caps in place, what they're really doing is they're stunting innovation. They're ruining it for people. You got to look at all these different things before you adopt this new technology. By 2012, houses in the United States that are connected are estimated to be using 200 gigabytes. That's for a house, okay? When you look at IPTV, when you look at all of these different services that they're looking to deliver, and especially when you've got fiber to the house and all of that, you know, you say, well, yeah, but that's just to your house. But the speeds on these cards are getting right up there with the fiber soon. I mean, it's still a little bit of the ways off, but when you look at WiMAX is going to provide huge jump in speed from what you've got right now with 3G, it just doesn't make sense. 5 gigs is just, you know, insane. It's really, really laughable. So that's kind of the way that I perceive mobile broadband, the way I use it. I hope I've been able to give you some good information. I want to go ahead and open up the floor now for some questions.
Jess, yes, Bill.
Connie Grace.
Okay, Jess, okay. Go ahead, sir.
What happens to data that is not used? Does it roll over or is it just
right,
expire?
Do we have rollover? No. No, that sucks, right? No, there's no rollover data. That's probably going to be the next gimmick that you see is, you know, use your, so now not only you have to count cell phone minutes, man, but you got to count data. I mean, that's insane.
Bill.
I want to know if you can tell us the difference between Altel and Sprint as far as like usability if you're in like a small area and stuff like that. Then also I do have the number for letstalk.com if you want me to give it out.
The differences between Altel and Sprint are several because Altel actually uses the Verizon network and Sprint of course uses their own network. Being that Verizon bought Altel, they haven't totally kind of integrated themselves into the two, but Altel was a contractor for Verizon. That's basically the difference. I personally love Sprint. Even with the cap, Sprint is still the best coverage. But if you're like up in the Northeast or in those type of places where Verizon is just like king of the phone company, you're probably going to do well with Altel if you can get in.
Okay, Connie, your question, please.
Assuming that you have to have one of those cards to use a netbook, how many minutes is 5 gigs?
Well, you don't. It's not measured by minutes. You don't need one to use a netbook. Now, remember, this is just for when you're kind of rolling down the street or when you're somewhere where there's not a Wi-Fi connection. It's not measured on time. It's literally measured on how much data. Every time I talk to you, everything you do, every word you say to me consists of data. Every web page you download, every word that's downloaded, every picture, it consists of data. So 5 gigabytes goes by not hugely fast. And unfortunately, the reason that these people have implemented these caps is because of the 1% or 2% of their users that have abused the unlimited usage scenario to where, you know, it's kind of like with those unlimited phones with you where they say unlimited, but it's really 5,000 minutes a month. It's kind of the same thing here. It's unlimited, but it's 5 gigs. So while I understand in principle, because it, you know, it does cost these folks, data does cost, I don't buy the fact that it costs them as much as they say it does. It really doesn't. The infrastructure's there. They've got to pay for that infrastructure to be there one way or the other. Now, people abusing it, of course, does put a toll on the system and require them to put more servers up. But it's my humble opinion that if they just left that alone and let people grow with the technology, they'll get more people adopting. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that don't have mobile broadband that if they did, the cost should actually go down.
Mike, is that mobile connectivity affected by weather, like driving rains or lightning, just as you might have with satellites?
No, not really. I mean, of course, satellite connections are, you know, satellite broadband. But this is very similar to your cell phone. The same conditions that apply to your cell phone and connectivity will apply to your 3G card. So, for example, you may get a better signal on your 3G card in one part of the house versus another part or out on your back porch. Weather has very little to do with it. It really has more to do with how far you are from a tower, you know, what kind of walls you have on your house. Are you in the basement? You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, we'll take our next three names for questions. Please state your first
name. Marianne.
Jess.
Anyone else? Okay, Marianne.
I was just wondering, do these work with both PC and Mac computers?
Great question. Most of them do. The only one that I have found that does not at this time, and it's not very accessible anyway, is the T-Mobile stick. Now, I will say this. Here in Orlando, T-Mobile actually was as quick as Sprint. But again, it was not the most accessible of situations, and it did not work on my Mac. My Sprint card will work on both my MacBook and on any computer. And in fact, here at the house, when I have an outage, which is very rare from Bright House, but when I do have an outage, I just plug my card right into the front of my desktop and use it. The only one that doesn't work on the Mac is the stick from T-Mobile.
And actually, I read that the next 10.6, the Snow Leopard operating system, they're going to build 3G support right into the OS. So that should be exciting. That rolls out this summer. Jess, your second question, sir.
How do you make sure that your device will work if you travel abroad?
There's a couple of different ways that they do that. First of all, a lot of the companies, what they do is they offer you a combination of Wi-Fi hotspots, the 3G. So they may have partnership agreements, for example, with the CDMA networks in various parts of the world or not. And then when you can't use those, you can use a wireless hotspot somewhere when 3G is not available. But for the most part, unfortunately, United States 3G is not compatible with anywhere else in the world. Really stinks, but that's just the way it is. And really, you don't want to do that anyway. AT&T, for example, has a worldwide global 3G connectivity package that has a very expensive card that goes along with it. It's probably like $400 for the card. And then it's $199 a month for worldwide broadband. That may work for some people, but it is certainly not something that even I as an executive could justify the cost of right now. It doesn't really make sense. You're probably better off just going into a coffee shop and using SA2Go or something.
We have to remember that the U.S. is the one with these plans, these 1-2 year commitments, whereas most other countries, it's more of a pay-as-you-go type of setup, and people buy their own phones and don't get or accept the discounts or have the locked phones as we do in the States. USB stick that will have a specific amount of data, like prepaid data plans, and I bet that's something that maybe we'll see in the US at some point.
Even those are metered though in Europe and other places. The most connected place on earth, I think, is like Bangkok. Those are the most connected. Korea, China, believe it or not, they have a huge imprint. Japan has some of the fastest broadband on the planet. And what you do in those places is they give you a stick, and then you just buy a card with a certain amount of data on it or usage, and then you just recharge that card, as you said. But even that, I believe, is metered for the most part. Jess, your question?
Is it possible to buy an unlocked version of that device and use it on any GSM carrier, assuming that the user wants to go with GSM?
Well, 3G, and this is a problem that those of us that have the Nokia phones, for example, the Nokia N82s, we can't use the 3G on either one of the two networks, T-Mobile or on AT&T, because Nokia, they do for international standards, of which we don't participate in. And even internally, you can't take, for example, your unlocked card from T-Mobile and then just plug in a card from AT&T and all of a sudden jump on their network. That was one of the things that I said, well, you know, shoot, if that's the case, then I'll just stick with my CDMA. I mean, I thought that the whole idea behind going to GSM was global. You know, and that just doesn't seem to be the case here in the United States.
You can. It's Mike in St. Louis. I just got here. If you get the unlocked unbranded phones, you can. You can pop in AT&T or a T-Mobile SIM card, and it'll work like a dream. The thing is, though, most people don't know that you can get them from other places. They think, well, you got to get it from the carrier.
There's two problems with that, Mike. First of all, you have to connect your phone to your laptop, and then it becomes a question, what are you using? There's a lot of factors. We're talking primarily about just the cards that plug into the netbooks, and they do not go across. You can get international cards that do it, but they're quite expensive. The carriers have kind of gotten a cartel together to where if you're in America, you're going to use American cards. If you're going to be a Globetrotter, you're going to pay $400 for the card, and you're going to pay $200 a month for the service.
I think you can pair a lot of these phones with a computer either via Bluetooth or USB and use them as modems.
You can pair them. The Bluetooth tends to be actually slower than the USB connection. But again, it is one of those things where you got to be kind of geeky, and it will work for sure. It kind of takes the whole mobile idea. I mean, if I'm going to go to Europe on vacation, man, I'm not going to be worrying about, okay, how do I plug in and how do I set the carrier up and do I connect? And it just becomes a pain in the neck. You can do it, but is it practical? Does it work? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
So I guess that means you would have to carry two or three cards around just for if you were traveling internationally or what?
Either that or pay a couple $100 to AT&T for their global plan, which if you travel enough, I mean, that makes sense. Now, that being said, Sprint for an additional $20, $30, $40 a month or something, you can get Mexico and Canada. So you can do all of North America. And of course, you can travel to the Virgin Islands and Hawaii and to Puerto Rico with just a regular old plan from them. I just came from Puerto Rico recently on a mission trip and was able to use my card out there quite easily. So as well as my cell phone. So, you know, as long as it's a United States territory, but if you're going to go international, you're definitely going to want to, you know, use one of those international cards.
So if I have the N82 and I can't take advantage of 3G, I can buy this personal hotspot and then take either the USB stick from Sprint or T-Mobile or AT&T and plug it into that and then connect to it from my phone via Wi-Fi. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, on your N82, though, on T-Mobile, you're going to be able to get Edge, which is still a pretty zippy little network. I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to get the speed that you get out of 3G, but I use Edge all the time, and I even have a podcatcher on my phone that does a pretty darn good job. In fact, it does a better job than iTunes. A lot of us that have N82s have been hollering at Nokia because the phone does do the band. They just don't have it in the firmware. So it's not like they have to do any hardware upgrades. They just have to do a firmware change.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What about if you do go overseas, buying a card there, let's say, you know, unlocked and bringing it here and using it, do those cards actually have a little SIM card in them?
Well, yeah, the GSM ones do. It's actually a little flap that opens up on the side of the card that you slip your GSM card into, and that's it. But I have not heard of an international card from Europe working here, or vice versa. America seems to be kind of like our television system. HD's been around for almost a decade everywhere else, but here. Now we're finally going HD on June 12th.
If Nokia doesn't support the 850 3G band in the U.S., then what phone does for GSM, for example?
With for AT&T? GSM, I believe that the AT&T, the Windows mobile phones, their Dash.
There are a few Symbian phones that do.
Which, do you know which ones do, Mike?
Here's the thing about some of these models, okay? Nokia makes a U.S. version and a European version. So you've got to make sure you get the U.S. version on some of these. But here's the flip side of that, and it's unfortunate. A lot of times they release the firmware upgrades for the European ones a lot faster than they release the U.S. ones. But I'll give you the ones that do. The N75 does, 6120 Classic does, U.S. versions of the N78 and N79. Now, there you got to be careful if you want the 3G one. By the way, this will only help you with AT&T. If you use T-Mobile, you can go ahead and even get the European one. T-Mobile doesn't have the 3G band, but E65 and E66 also come in U.S. versions. And also the E51 will use the 850 band. So those are the ones that I know of off the top of my head.
Now, the bad news about those, of course, is those of us who have N82s generally have it because we use the KNFB reader and that kind of thing, and the KNFB reader has not been approved for anything but, I think, the 6220. T-Mobile does have GSM 3G available now. They rolled it out last year. It's on the 2100 band, but nobody supports it.
In the U.S., it's on the 1700 megahertz band, actually. It's that new spectrum.
And, is it the 17? Only, I'm sorry. I thought it was the 2100.
In the U.S., yes.
Well, there you go. I sit corrected.
Kenny, your question, sir.
Do you know I think it's UMAX or WiMAX, that new standard. Do you know any companies that is doing, you know, basically looking into that to implement it?
Sprint and Clearwire, both. And Sprint is Clearwire, and Clearwire is Sprint. Their marriage has not been fully put together yet, but they are all in one, and they have made a commitment to have a lot of WiMAX out by the end of the year. Being that we're halfway through the year and we haven't seen any rollout plans, I would more venture to say that you're going to see mid to late 2010 because of the economy and stuff.
Jamal?
Go ahead, Jamal.
This WiMAX technology, is it better than 3G? Is it like Wi-Fi? What exactly is that?
It's like 3G on steroids, man. I mean, it is. I forget the speeds. It is very fast.
So why not just go with WiMAX instead of going with 3G?
Because it's faster. It's not here yet.
It's not here yet. I mean, you know, if you need data today, if you're not in a hurry.
Not all the carriers use it.
Sit back a year or two and let it roll.
Baltimore and a couple of other places.
It's not widely available yet, basically.
AT&T, for example, if you're on the 3G network, they charge you an extra $15 a month. So you're paying $15 for your regular internet, and you get a phone that's 3G. They rev it up to $30 a month.
No, that's incorrect. They don't do that.
They actually do that.
Well,
yes.
Yes. Can anyone explain that they do have a $15 and a $30 a month plan? Does anyone know the physical difference?
Okay. There's two different ones, and here's how it works. It's not whether you use 3G or not. The difference is. And I think it's kind of silly, personally, but the $15 is what they call MediaNet, and the $30 is what they call PDA Connect. It's not based on whether you use 3G. It's based on the phone model you've got.
The phone model.
For the Nokia phones, you can get the MediaNet, but if you have, like, a pocket PC, that's when they want you to pay the $30. It's got nothing to do with 3G.
Now, Scott, I don't know if you're still here. You were saying now they're rolling out some prepaid data plan cards or sticks or something that you recharge, like Mike was talking about.
Basically, there are some 3G sticks you can get over here. One over here called Vodafone is a provider. They've got that in the US, I think, as well. They're actually quite good. They charge $15 for 500 meg, $39 for a gig, and $49 Australian for, I think it's 5 gig or something like that. I don't know, I've been playing with a 3G card, and on Skype, it just doesn't work with 3G. I've heard that Skype and 3G just don't work that well. I don't know if it's true, but I was really disappointed with what I played around with one of the 3G wireless USB sticks and a netbook.
Well, one of the reasons that Skype doesn't work well is because, of course, you've got two things going on. You've got packet prioritizing going on by the network. So when they see Skype packets going through, they don't give them as much. They want to make it a crappy connection so that you'll never use Skype instead of their voice services.
And on that note, we're going to put the wraps on Tech Chat 17. Thank you, Mr. Calvo, for some very interesting information and a lot of great questions from the SAMNet community. Join us on the 28th as Mr. Joseph Hall from the Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Sleep Research Labs comes on to talk to us about sleep, how we can improve it, and in turn improve the quality of our life. Also, coming up in June, we will be speaking with the NFB, National Federation of the Blind, about their awesome Newsline service, and now, in particular, Newsline Online.
that lets you download newspapers and other publications directly to your Victor icon. Or if you don't have one of those devices, you can even go to a website and read the materials online ad-free and move by headings through to get to your favorite stories of interest. So until we meet again next week, let's stay connected.